approach the duty today, and just want to say again, thank you to everybody for coming early today. We sure appreciate it. Just good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. If you have your Bibles, let's go to Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. And Brother Tony and I have talked about this over the years, that sometimes the hardest part about a sermon is the title. It's so hard, you know, pinning it down. But, you know, I named it, Behold the Established Precepts. But if I could do a subtitle, it would be Consider Your Ways. Consider Your Ways. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. And let's just read this in the name of the Lord. Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. I want to thank you for this opportunity to be here today. Lord, I give my flesh over to you. Lord, everything that I am, Lord, I lay it before you and say, Lord, just use this piece of clay, Father, to your people, Father, to your service. Lord, my sincere prayer is that every person would leave this service edified, Lord, feeling and acknowledging more that they are a son and daughter of God and knowing who they are and walking with purpose, Lord. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. You know, David, he understood how to run a kingdom, if you so to speak, or how to operate. And, you know, a kingdom is a lot like a household. And David lived according to the established precepts. You know, David was the father of Solomon, right? Mm-hmm. So he said, my father taught me these things. And we know his earthly father, and I believe his heavenly father, also taught him these precepts. He told him, listen to these precepts that I give you. Listen to these words that I give you and live. Because, you know, we don't want to just live like staying alive, but being alive in the Lord. You know, you are alive in the Lord. You meet people, they're breathing, but they're not alive. You know, there's no life there. And I believe that God wants his children to be alive. You know, David lived according to established precepts. And what I mean by precepts that have been established, I mean it's precepts that have been tried and it's been proven that it works. You know, and that's the thing about the gospel. The gospel has been tried throughout the years over and over and over in every way possible, and it has been proven that it works. Amen. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall never pass away. So know that the word of God is the one thing that will not pass away. And so David showed how to operate a kingdom, or how to run a kingdom, however you want to work that. And David did this according to established precepts that God gave him. So what I'm trying to show is David did not go with his own intellect and say, this is how I think we should run a kingdom. That's not how he did it. God outlined and showed him precepts of the Bible through the prophets, gave him a word and said, this is acceptable to me. Because see, if you do it according to the way God says do it, then you've got God's blessing. But if you go and say do it yourself, then that could be you. That's like where the Brother Branham said. There are people come to him some and say, Brother Branham, you just say, thus saith the Lord, and it'll be well. He said, no, hang on a minute. I can't just say that. Because if I just say, that thus saith the Lord, he said, that might be just thus saith my enthusiasm. Right. Because just my enthusiasm may not get it done. But when it's thus saith the Lord, it shall come to pass. And that's the way it is with the precepts of the Bible, revelation of His Word as a Christian. We don't want to just go with enthusiasm. Enthusiasm is good, but enthusiasm can fail you. There's sometimes you won't have a lick of enthusiasm. So if your victory lies in your enthusiasm, you're only going to be victorious as long as you feel good, right? How many of you feel enthusiastic all the time? No, none of us. But you know what? I like to be enthusiastic. You know, what's around me knows that I am. But there are times I don't feel a thing. But my confidence, my victory does not lie in how I feel. So David did not come up with his own idea of how I should run a kingdom. God gave him precepts of how this is how you run your kingdom. And David did it, and it was tried, and it was proven that it works. And that's exactly the way it is with the household, brother and sister. God has given us precepts of the Bible, precepts of Scripture, and said, if you will run your life like this, I will make you victorious. So you're not victorious because of your own mindset of what you think, whether I should buy this car or not buy this house or do this. You want to do it according to the leadership of God, according to His precepts, because then if God says you go buy that truck, God will give you the after David that saw and heard the same words that David had the right. same opportunity to hear the word that David had, but whenever their opportunity come, they did not run the kingdom like David did. Right. They began to do it their own way, and because they began to do it their own way, they drifted away from the Bible.
Right.
And corruption set inside the place, and then the people began to live a defeated life. Right. See, that's exactly the way it was with the kingdom. That's exactly the way it is right. with families. Brother and sister, it's so important that we tie ourselves to the precepts of this Bible.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The message. I'm getting hot already. They were given the example of David. This is how you can be successful. How many of you want to be successful? Truly, I want to be successful. If you look at Joshua, you'll have this. Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. He says, only be thou strong and courageous that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. So I want to read that again. Catch what he's saying here. Only be thou strong and courageous that thou mayest observe to do according to all the Bible, all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it from the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest.
Amen.
He's commanding them to observe, be strong and be courageous, that you can observe and meditate upon the precepts that's been established. Is that true?
Right.
Because there's going to be a reason to be afraid. There's going to be a reason to be discouraged. And when those reasons come, listen to what I'm saying, when the reasons to get scared, the reasons to fret, the reasons to start doubting, when those things come, it is a temptation for you to stop observing the ordinances, to stop observing the word. So he's telling us, meditate upon the word, meditate upon the law. Don't turn to the left, don't turn to the right. Stay focused on the precepts. Because giants are going to come. And when those giants come, don't be afraid. Be courageous, because I am with you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So no matter what the devil tries to come at you, brother and sister, he tries to come against your household, against your family, against your finances, you must stand your ground and say, I'm a son of God. I'm observing the ordinances. I'm observing the precepts, because I'm going to win this battle, not because of me, but because I'm obeying his word. And he will give me the victory.
Amen.
Those giants are standing on your promise, but you know what? When you observe the ordinances that God laid in place, you will have victory.
Amen.
Mark this down. There will be reasons to be afraid, reasons to doubt, reasons to be discouraged. When those things, be strong, be courageous.
Right.
He is commanding the people to be strong and courageous that they may observe to do according to all the law. There was a reason to be afraid. And if they allow themselves to be overtaken by fear, they cannot continually observe to do according to the law. We are never called to walk by fear.
Amen.
We can allow ourselves to be overtaken and driven by fear.
Yeah.
Listen, Christians are not called for that. I love the Psalms, rest. Because you know what? You cannot be at rest and be afraid at the same time.
Amen.
Could you imagine going to a spook house and be resting, just resting? No. Some guy with a chainsaw coming at you or something. I'm not saying don't go there anyway, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You can't rest in a place like that. We are called to rest. Amen.
Amen.
Right.
In Job chapter 3, verses 25, just one scripture, he says, for the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. Mm-hmm. Everything that Job was afraid of, it came upon him.
Yeah.
And my wife, I'll remind her of this scripture all the time. What if this happened? I said, hey, stop, stop, stop. We are not talking that. We're not listening to that. Because listen, when those thoughts of fear, what if this happens? What if this happens? What if this happens? All that he feared come upon him.
Yeah.
We are not to walk by that. We are called to walk by faith.
Amen.
Right. Amen. Listen to what Brother Reb says in this. He says in the book of Job, it says here, Job feared. And what he feared, it actually happened.
Uh-huh.
What brought it? His fear. That's what made it happen.
His faith would have kept it from him, but his fear brought it to him. He was scared it was going to happen, and it did happen. Now, if he'd known it wouldn't happen, it wouldn't happen. See what I mean? If you're afraid when you come by the prayer line, maybe I just haven't got the faith sufficient, it'll never happen. Don't worry, see? But if you know it's going to happen, it'll happen. See?
Right.
See, it's a substance of something. Job had a fear that these things would come upon him, and they did. If you have a fear that your disease is going to leave, or that it won't leave you, it won't.
Right.
But if you have faith, it will.
Amen.
Amen. Right. You've got to have faith, brothers. You know, mark this down. Anytime you're going to a prayer line, to be prayed for, that thought will come to your mind. Do I have faith to do this? I don't have faith to have this happen. Where is that thought coming from? Satan.
Right.
Because he wants you to doubt. And exactly the same thing, I'm not just going through a prayer line, but when you look at a divine promise of the Bible, that he says, I will do this for you.
Amen.
That thought of doubt will come to your mind, but I don't have the faith for it. I don't have this. Cast those thoughts to the side and look straight at the word. Don't to the left. Don't turn to the right. Look straight at the word. Lord, this is your promise.
Right.
And your faith will bring that to you.
Right.
We're nailed this down. Listen to me, sisters. If you and brothers too, but listen, when those thoughts of doubt, what if this happens? What if this happens? What if this happens? What if this happens? That devil will trap you and you'll be bound by shadows.
Right.
There's nothing that was ever going to happen, but this right here will bring you into captivity because you are walking by this right here.
Right.
Remember, God chose the heart, Satan chose the mind.
Right.
God will always speak through your heart. He always speaks through faith.
Amen.
Amen. Aren't you glad for that?
Right.
So if we allow ourselves to fear, our fear is what will bring the bad things upon us. And in the contrary, our faith will bring the promise upon us. Precepts are a lot like a vision or battle plans. You ever notice that? I like battle plans. We used to play paintball here in the church not too long ago. Paintball, then we did the airsoft. But you have battle plans. When they come over here, this is what you're going to do. This is what you're going to do. You've got to have battle plans. Precepts are a lot like that in the scriptures. Precepts are a vision, something that way, whenever you have reasons to doubt and I don't know what to do, look to the vision. And when you're on a battlefront and you're going through the fight and you don't know what to do, look to the battle plans. Stay with the precepts. And that's exactly what the precepts of the Bible has been given to. Amen? So a man must believe a precept in order to live by it. And the precepts of the tabernacle were established by God. When God told them, this is how I want you to do the tabernacle, it was not a man that rose up and said, I think this is how we should do it. God actually showed them how he wanted the tabernacle built. Let me ask this question. Who would a man be to say, I've got a better idea than what God did? All right, let's go to Exodus chapter 25, and I'll go through this quickly. Exodus 25, verses 1 through 9. He says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. And this is the offering which you shall take of them, gold and silver and brass, blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skins and shittim wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and for sweet incense. Onyx stones that you to be set on the ephod and in the breastplate. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them.
Yep.
According to all this, I show thee after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it. So God is instructing them on this is the material that I want you to use, and this is how I want you to use it. I feel the Lord's trying to hammer this. You know, it's not about thinking, well, this is what I think will be acceptable and keep it making my household safety. This is what I think that we can do in order to be acceptable for the Lord. The Lord is telling them, if you will do this, build your tabernacle like this, I will meet you. And listen to me, that's a tabernacle, and we'll bring it to the household. He's going to show you, if you will build your household, your home, like this, I will meet you. I will be in your home. I will be in your car. I will be everywhere. But you got to do it the way I'm telling you to do it. And how does he do that? By the precepts. He'll give you precepts of showing you this is what's acceptable. This is what I'm looking for. There would have been a temptation to build it another way. And if man would have just rose up and built it the way he thought it would work, it won't work because you will not have the blessing. If I could ever get this pointed out to clear for people to see, it is so important that we have his blessing. Because you can work as hard as you want to. The finances have got to have his blessing. The health has got to have his blessing. You know, scripture, Paul talked about how some people say, if I had this preacher, and Paul said, he said that one will plant, one will water, but I'm the one that gives the increase. Because if he does not get increase, you're not going to grow. And listen to me, we need increase. So it's not just having the precepts, but it's having the blessing. We need God's blessing upon our life, and God cannot bless disobedience. If God is laying on your heart, quickening your heart, stop doing this, or go do this, or doing this, it goes back to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. If you listen, the more you listen to God, the more you'll be blessed. Is that right? And the Father and His Son, if it, hey, I want you to mow the yard. If you don't mow the yard, you think I'm going to bless you for that? You know, you gotta do the things that you know should do. There's precepts that's given to you. Follow the precepts, you get the blessing.
Right?
And if you can't openly just disobey and say, I'm not gonna do that, I want my blessing. It don't work that way.
Right.
You know what? And it don't work that way in a church, it don't work that way in a family. You cannot walk in disobedience and ask God and expect God to bless your family.
Right.
It won't work.
Right.
Now listen to me. If you will do it according to his precepts, the way he said, this is the way I want it done.
Yeah,
if you'll do it that way, God will bless you. You say, well, the rest of my family don't do it. What about you?
Right.
As for me in my house, I will serve the Lord. You, everybody else may do whatever they want, but as for me, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to follow his precepts. I'm going to do what he says. If he tells me to do something, I'm going to do it.
Right.
It goes back to leadership, brother and sister, following his leadership in your life.
Amen.
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 I'm preaching myself just as much as anybody else.
Yeah.
We got to follow his precepts. The Lord requires worship, but there's a provided way for the worship. Amen.
Right.
Look at this, what Brother Brennan said. He said, there's something in the human heart that calls out for worship somewhere. No man is on earth without worship. He worships something. Jesus told the woman at the well, you worship, you know not what. Mm-hmm. We know salvation of the Jew. Now, worship is not all we desire. There is a provided way of worship. Did you know that? See, there's a way to worship and a right way to worship and a wrong way to worship. I'm not trying to tell you which way to worship, but I'm telling you there is a way that you have to approach God. And if you do not come that provided way, you certainly cannot find God. There's a way for me to go home. Not across the field, shortcut, go the highway. That's what was made. It's provided for me. Think about that. The highway is provided for him. Why would I want to take a shortcut through a field when there's a highway provided for me to get to where I need to go? Right? God don't have any shortcuts. We all come the same way. That's right. No shortcuts to glory. We must come the way. Brother and sister, we don't want to try to do a shortcut. We got to come God's way. When he says, I want the tabernacle built this way, well, I got an easier way of doing it. We can make it a whole lot faster if we do it like this. But is that how God said to do it?
No.
And listen, in the Christian life, we live in a life of ease. We like shortcuts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Every single one of us likes shortcuts.
Right.
Who likes shortcuts?
Yeah.
You liars. We all like shortcuts. I'm just teasing, you know. We all like shortcuts. But you know what? In the scriptures, following God's precepts, there are no shortcuts. Listen to me. It starts at the very beginning. Number one, you've got to repent. To truly repent means you turn away from the things that you were doing. Because you know what? If you don't turn away, you have not repented. You just said you're sorry. To repent is you say, Lord, forgive me. Repent. But you know what? You say, Lord, forgive me for what I've done. And then, you know, that's justification. You step into that water baptism. You say, Lord, I want to take your name. I want to be baptized. I want to represent your name. I want to show I am a Christian. I love Jesus Christ. I've accepted him into my life. That's a good step. That's a good precept. But you know, eventually, you got to take that word and begin to apply it to your life, apply it to your heart. Applying that word to you, what is that? That's sanctification, because you're being set aside for service for God to use you. It's good that you really accepted the Lord in your life. It's good that you got baptized. But what do you got to do with that, Brother Daniel? You have got to take the word, the precepts, and apply them to your life. And there's so many people that have done justification. They've accepted Jesus into their heart. There's so many people that went just a little bit into sanctification, but they never really got all the way into it.
Yeah.
That's whenever you are taking the precepts of the Bible and you are setting yourself aside for service, God will actually work in your life and cleaning your life up. But you know what? After that, you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. Where that fire will come in. Brother Graham talked about finding the glass out in the chicken pen. You find a glass out in the pig chicken pen that's got manure and everything all in it. You bring that inside the house. That's good. That's justification. You take soap and water and you begin to clean that little jar out. Put it on top of the table. Sanctification. But you know it still ain't use. It's just set aside for service.
Yeah.
What do you got to do to put it in service? You got to take that water and pour the water inside the cup. And then you're packing the water. Listen to me, that is the mission, that is the precepts, brother and sister. It is not just accepting the Lord into your life, saying, Lord, I accept you in my life, that's it. That's not just it, because if you're doing that, you are nothing more. I don't mean this being mean, but it's just the only way I know how to get the point across. If that's all you're doing, that's just like taking a dirty cup out of the chicken pen and sitting in the sink. We don't want to just be set in the sink. I want to be cleaned out. Lord, clean me up and set me to the side. But I don't want to stay there, Lord. I want to be filled. I want your spirit inside my life. Because you know what? You'll be so thirsty for something. Thirsty. You're not happy. You're miserable. You're doing this. What is it? You are thirsty.
Right.
It's because there's something inside you that's crying out for that water.
Right.
And you don't even realize it. We want that water. Not mean to go down that, but praise the Lord. Praise someone got something out of it.
Amen.
If a sacrifice was all God was looking for, then Cain's worship would have been accepted. Cain was sincere. Cain did sacrifice. Cain's sacrifice was beautiful. And looking from the outside in, looking at Cain's sacrifice, we could not find any reason why God would not accept that. Think of it. Cain was sincere. Cain got the pumpkins, he got the tomatoes, he got the pretty flowers, put it on the altar. He was sincere, he was dedicated, he did everything. He was a great person. But God did not accept the sacrifice. Because it must be the blood. Amen? It's not just about feeling, because it's not just him, brothers. Bring it back to your household and to yourself. Do you have the blessing? Amen? When I say do you have the blessing, I don't mean that everything's going right. It's usually because everything's going wrong. Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, Dad, I don't know if I want that blessing. You do. Amen?
Amen.
Cain had the beautiful flowers on the altar, but God didn't want the flowers. He wanted Cain on the altar. He wanted Cain's will on the altar. Say, God, I want your will in my life. Sacrifice my will and give me your will. That I will do what you want me to do, Lord. That I will serve you, Lord. I want to be your disciple, Lord. I want to discipline myself according to your precepts. According to your spirit, and have his spirit inside you, leading you. Amen?
Amen.
God instructs us on what is to be acceptable. And it, not just any form of worship would work. God's a holy God. God's a precise God. And all the creation that God did, he patterned it, and he established it the way he wanted it to be. Now, there's so many scriptures I can bring them. I cut a lot of it out of it. But if you look at the scripture, he'll say, I did the earth according to my precepts. And let me just say it, sum it up in Brother Daniel's language. I summed up the creation of the world in my pattern and my precepts, and it works. If you look out there, brother and sister, thousands and thousands and thousands of years, they've stayed alive because it works.
Right.
And if we will do that according to the simplicity of our taking our household and everything toward the scriptures, we will find out that it works if we will do apply our life to the precepts.
Amen.
Amen. God will not just put his name on any sacrifice or any form of worship. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 4, verses 1. He says, in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. Now, a woman is a type of the church. And if your Brother Graham talked about that, you want to see what kind of church you got? Look at the women.
Yep.
That's how they're doing that. Now, watch what Brother Graham says about this. He says, well, you know what it is? If you want me to tell you in a few words, I'll tell you exactly. The word has gotten in this kind of, excuse me, the world has gotten this kind of condition because it's a modern Sodom and Gomorrah. Exactly. In California, I picked up a paper and I forgot how many thousands every year that they get a hold of to know of the increase of homosexuals. Even their natural desire between husband and wife and so forth is leaving the people. Exactly what God said would come to pass. And the only, you pick up some, see who gets some kind of a popularity, listen on your radio or televisions or whatever you have and find out if the very worst and dirtiest, there's some song about some woman or something like that, that's the thing that gets the notoriety. And it's got to a place till it seems like we don't care for our women. Or women don't care for themselves. That's what it is. If a woman would keep herself right, the man would have to go right. Now, catch what he said that. If a woman would keep herself right, the man would have to keep right. And that's not taking up for the men, but I know that's the truth. Yes, sir, but what is it? It's just a horrible condition, and it's just existing, and it's according to the Scripture. The Bible said that it would be that way. So how can we have a revival? How can we have a revival? That's in Question and Answers, 1954. Think about that. In 1954, he was saying homosexuality was at that. Look at it today. He said, because I'm not saying this to beat up on a woman. Catch what I'm saying. A woman is a type of the church.
Right.
He said if the woman would keep herself right at a high standard, the man would have to keep a high standard. Why? Because she wouldn't have anything to do with him. The reason she would have something to do with him is because he comes up higher to a higher level. And it's a type of the church, the way the church has got. If the church would have kept a higher standard, the people would have to keep a higher standard to be able to be a part of the church. You want to be associated with it. You catch what I'm saying? The church backslid. They got away from holiness. They got away from the holy standard. Because they got away from that, anybody can come. A woman let her standard drop to where any guy off the street can come get with her. There should be a standard. There should be something inside her radar saying, I am not dealing with that. There should be, listen to me, sisters, keep that holiness. Keep that standard. Don't allow yourself to drop down and settle.
Right.
God has called this church to be a holy church, and out of the church comes the bride. But the church standard across the world, brothers and sisters, they have let their standard down.
Right.
Where any guy can walk in the street and say, I'm a Christian, that's it, and you're just with me. A standard. He said, because the way Brother Graham talked about how he'd go to other countries, he said, just make him shame, because he'd say, American women, cover up. Put your clothes on top. He said, what a shame for that. Mm-hmm. No, we're Americans. We're identified to death. It should be that you can see a difference between a Christian and not a Christian. There should be a difference.
Right.
Not just in the way you dress, but the way you act, the way you conduct, the way you do these things. It's because there is a difference inside you. What is it? Precepts. How did the church get to a point to where it lowered the standard so much where you just come as you are and just stay as you are? Year after year and year. I'm all for come as you are. I am all for come. Praise. Absolutely. You know me. You know Brother Daniel. Come as you are. But listen to me. When you come as you are, there should be a progression of holiness. There should be a growth of holiness. You know, I got a little grandbaby. I love that boy more than anything. But you know what? Whenever he was inside the baby's womb, he depended on mama to feed. Whatever she ate, he ate. So if she stopped eating, he stopped eating. But you know what? Then you got to take that umbilical cord and cut the umbilical cord. Now you got to give the bottle and give it to him. There's a progression. He couldn't stay inside her womb, because if he did, he'd still be inside there. But you know what? He got out of the womb, cut that umbilical cord, and you know what? Now he has to still eat, but not from the umbilical cord. He has to have her feed him. But eventually, he's going to have to feed himself. And this is what I'm talking about. You can be to where you are just inside the womb of the church, so to speak, and you're alive as long as you're in church, but as soon as you're out of the church, you're dead.
Yeah.
But you know what? When that umbilical cord's cut, you still got to feed. Someone's still got to feed you and help you out and eat a little bit.
Right.
But eventually, you've got to get to the point where you can take that fork, stick it in the steak and the potatoes, and you're eating yourself.
Right.
It's maturity. You know what? We live in an age where there's no maturity, where you've got people that are 30 years old still living with their mom and their dad, ain't got a job, won't get up and do what they got to do. They're not productive. They're not being somebody that they can stand on their own 2 feet and be a man. Shame on this generation that's coming. What happened? They got away from the precepts.
Right.
Because when you stay with the precepts of the Bible, it will lead you to maturity.
Amen.
Amen. And it's the same thing with the church. You don't want to be to a point where you got a bunch of grown babies inside a church because they're not growing. They don't feed themselves. They don't grab the potatoes and eat the potatoes. It's by growing into maturity. As a Christian, right. This is not a bashing service. I pray you don't take it that way. I pray you're saying, amen, Brother Daniel. That's me too. I want that too. You've got to be able to, you're taking the steak and the potatoes where you are doing, you're cutting that up, you're eating that up on a daily walk. Why? Because you are coming mature.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Not living on mom and daddy's coattail. Because I'm going to tell you something. Mom and daddy is not always going to be there.
Right.
We would if we could.
Right.
I say that. Brother Graham said, why'd you bring me, or media, wasn't it? Media is, I would get the names wrong. Hope. Why you call me back, Bill? We're beyond the curtain of time. She died. Pray the Lord bring her back. She said, why'd you bring me back? He said, everything you preached about it. He said, you talked about it. He said, wait till you get there. Oh, brother and sister, keep your eyes on the precepts because that's what it's leading us to.
Amen.
That eternal rest.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I want to go. If the church would keep herself right, man would have to keep himself right. I believe that we should keep the standard. Amen. As people, as parents, as households. I want to say it again. Ladies, keep a high standard. You'll have friends and reasons to compromise, let yourself do this. Just hold that holy standard.
Right.
Just remember, you've got the precepts. A lot of them don't. There's a reason that they walk the way they walk. They haven't been given what you've been given. We've been given it. There's not an excuse. Amen. It's gotten to you can't tell the church from the world in many times. I'm not talking about here. I'm talking about across the world. Okay? It's gotten to... They are supposed to have the precepts, you know, where the people that have the precepts are acting like the people that don't have the precepts. There's a reason why they don't live like they do, because they have been given this. We've been given it.
Right.
Right.
Amen. So stay established with the established precepts. And we're almost done, I promise, okay? When a man chooses a woman to be his wife, it's a place to put his name. And she will be the representation of his name. Remember, I was talking about earlier about the seven women who tried to come to him and said, let us eat our own bread, but let us be called by your name. Let us live the life we want to live. Let us be a Christian. Let us live whatever we want, but let us wear our own apparel. Amen?
Yeah.
So, she will be the representation of his name, and if you look at the woman a man chooses, you will see what he is made of. That's what Brother Brennan says about this. He says, predestinated, there's the mystery, see? Before Christ or anything else was ever on earth, you see his great mystery, that he chose the bride, knowing Eve would fall from disbelieving the word, knowing that she would fall, but he would choose a bride that would not fall, that would hold to that word, regardless of what all the rest of the world had to say about it. They would hold to that word. They are predestinated to stand there. The adoption of children by Jesus Christ predestinated the church to that glorious stand. Now you see the secret, to restore fallen Eve, as she was a prefigure of the church. And now notice, as God opened up the side of Adam and took out Eve by his own flesh and blood and divided his spirit from masculine to feminist to put it in Eve, took the rib from under his side and made Eve out of it. So God did the same thing, taking out of the side of Christ the blood and the water, Christ in his word, and taking the word and making up his church, Eve, see, back to himself again, redeemed by the blood that was drawn from his body. You see it now? God's great mystery being unfolded, that's been hid since the foundation of the world, but prefigured it all the way down through. Now watch. We find that he did that, and here in Ephesians and many other places, but that will give you enough. Now, down through the ages, he has been slowly unfolding his mystery. Can you see it now? What happened? The prefigure. Now, he opened Adam's side, took part of his flesh, which was Adam, to make Eve. The bride was to be the Word, for he is the Word. She cannot stand on creed. She cannot stand on denomination. She cannot stand on good behavior. She has to stand alone on the word because she's part of it. She's taken from Christ. God's the one who ordained the cross, just as the water and the blood was taken out of Christ. That it was God by His Spirit, He draws them right back inside of Him. Because remember, the flesh of Christ was the sister Laura that you see is the flesh. That's not Laura. That's just the flesh. The Laura is inside that flesh. It's the Spirit. And that's exactly the way it was with Jesus Christ on earth, when Jesus was on the earth. That flesh was not Jesus. It was the life inside Jesus. So what is He? It's the Spirit that was inside Jesus is what draws people to Him. So you're actually being drawn inside. God is redeeming His church by drawing the people back inside of Him, where you are actually making Him complete by His putting His name on you. Isn't that awesome? He puts His name on you by drawing you to Him. So that is Jesus Christ today, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is Jesus Christ today calling the bride. When the disciples were on the earth, when Jesus was here in the flesh, He was drawing them to Him. Not with His flesh, but there was a Spirit inside Jesus that was acting a certain way, and they saw that light, something inside them quickened and said, I've just seen Jesus. I've just seen the Messiah. Because what was it? It wasn't the flesh. There was a life inside that flesh. Right. And they saw that life. Something inside them was quickened. Right. And that's why you can be redeemed today. Because Jesus is not here in that flesh today. But He's here in the same Spirit. Right. So we can look at that same Spirit. And something inside you says, that's Jesus.
Right.
Why did God do what He did this hour with the prophet of demonstrating, of showing, making the Bible live again? It's because He was showing this is Jesus.
Amen.
This is the same one that was always before. But what good would it do if we just had the prophet? It's got to be today.
Right.
It don't matter how much a revival they had back then. Where's the revival today? See what I'm saying? He said, how can you have revival when you got ungodliness and this and looseness and all this stuff? You can't have a revival. But if you will go back to the precepts of this message of saying, this is not a man, this is God.
Amen.
And then you realize, then that will bring the fire back into your life. I'm going to tell this story, then we'll be done, okay? We went to a store, we went on a hiking trip to Petit Jean Park here a while back. And when you go to Petit Jean Park, there's hiking trails. You can go on a hiking trail and have a good time. Right? Just hiking. You can have a good time. But there's a map that's given to you and says when you're going through this trail, on this hiking trail, these are the destinations that you want to look for. So it's not just hiking, but you're hiking with purpose.
Right.
I'm hiking this trail because I'm trying to reach this place. I don't know where it's at because where I'm standing, I don't see it. You have to hike it. That is precepts that I'm talking about. Following the Lord, following the Word, you're walking by faith. I don't know where I'm going, but I know the Scripture says I should see this in my life.
Right.
I should see this in my life. There should be this cabin, so to speak, over this hill. I should see this cabin in my life. The precepts won't lie. The map won't lie. He says, I will make you. I'm saved yesterday, today, and forever. That means I will make this Bible live in you.
Amen.
So you're going through these precepts. We're going through that. We're still having a good time. You can walk with the map, the Bible, like everyone else has, and have a good time. You can walk with the Bible, just like everybody else, and find certain destinations.
Right.
But you know what? We come to a point where we saw a cave just like everybody else, just according to the map. We all went inside the hole. We looked around. And wow, this is neat. Nice hole. Nice cave. I bet bears probably lived here. Started to walk out. As we began to walk out, here come a guide. And there was a few people that were walking with him. And the guide said, hey, hang on a minute, guys. I'm just going to show you something that you didn't see. What are you going to show us? He said, hang on a minute. Follow me. And my arrogance held me, and I've already seen it. But I said, you know what? Let's just watch. This guide that was leading these people walked over there. Walked over to the same wall, same cave, same everything that we all saw, having the same Bible. The difference was, he turned on the flashlight.
Amen.
When he turned on the flashlight, he knew where to shine the light, and we began to see ancient writings all over the walls of doing this. He said, these are things that you don't know unless you got somebody with one of these. You listen to me, brother and sister. You can walk with the Bible, and you can find certain things, but God positioned a man in this hour that can hold the flashlight to show us things that nobody else can see.
Amen.
It's not the man. He wasn't his own intelligence that was given to him. The intelligence was given to him.
Yeah.
And he just shined the light.
Right.
You see why we need a message Listen to me, because we know we need God to take that light in our life and open this Bible up. To let us see things that we can't see by ourselves. We need a guide.
Amen.
Listen, Brother Branham was a man that walked with God every day of his life. When he was with the anointing of God, he was in nature all the time. He wanted to be a guide. He knew what to do. If you get into a certain blizzard, he knew you got to dig a hole, build a fire, put dirt on top of it. You can lay on top of that. But don't get it deep enough. You set yourself on fire. But you dig a hole, build a fire, get it hot, put dirt on top of that. You can lay on top of that dirt. It'll keep you warm so you don't freeze to death. He knew enough about being a guide that whenever you're in the woods and a blizzard comes, you can climb up and down the tree, up and down the tree to keep your body heat warm enough so you can survive. He was a guide. He knew enough about it. You can grab the north side of a tree and feel the bark and know which way is north. He was a guide. He said, you know what? I know how to do this. He was out there with his wife and his son, and he was going to go hunting real quick, and here come a blizzard upon him out of absolute nowhere. Couldn't see anything. A blizzard was coming, and he got lost. This was a man that was known to be a guide, knew all kinds of things. Listen to me, there's a lot of people that know a lot about the Bible. A lot of people know all kinds of different things. This guy knew how to be a guide, so to speak. But God had to humble him to a point of realizing, you cannot do this without me. He said, he began to get frantic because he began to walk, and he began to do what they call the death walk. You would focus as hard as you can and say, all right, I'm going to walk this way perfectly as straight as I can, and I'll come out somewhere. He kept walking as perfectly as he could. Mind you, this was a guy that had experience at being a guy. He knew the woods. He knew all these things. Yeah. Walking with the best of his ability, he was walking. And he came right back to where he was. He said, all right, I just got turned around. I got to focus again. Focus. Doing all of his abilities he could possibly do. And he brought back where he was again. The death man's walk. He talked about when someone's on the death man's walk, he said, when a man gets lost, you'll get so scared that you'll actually rip your clothes off and just start running and just go crazy. Mm-hmm. Listen to me, there's a lot of people that have done that. They've gotten crazy. Uh-huh. They've ripped their clothes off. They're naked. They don't even know that they're naked. Yep. Walking around, he said, but you know what? He said, God began to get sincere before God. He said, God, I can't do it. You're a dumb servant, Lord. I'm so sorry. I can't do it. My wife needs me. Lord, I don't know what to do. Please. And he had to come to a humility of realizing, I need a guide.
Amen.
He began to break down and say, Lord, help me. And he began again, by sincerity, before God, began to walk again, and he felt that touch on the back of his shoulder. And turn him around, and all the fog was and he saw that rope, the guide rope, going all the way to the tower. Then all he had to do was grab a hold to that rope, and as he's going, just hang on to that rope, and it'll get you back. What did you try to say, Brother Daniel? We need a guide.
Amen.
We need him to lead us.
Amen.
Because in our best abilities, we will get lost.
Amen.
Our families will get lost. Listen to me, husbands, your families will get lost. Listen to me, mamas and daddies, your families will get lost. We've got to hold our eyes to that precept. Mm-hmm. Keep your eyes on the word and say, Lord, I want to follow you. Amen.
Amen.
Let's
stand.
We as a church, Brother Tony, stay with the guide.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Friends, you don't want to find yourself in doing that circle. It's easy to look at those stories. It wasn't. You got to apply it to your life.
Right.
You don't want to find it in our life that we're just doing circles in our life.
Right. Amen.
But Lord, I need a guide.
Amen.
Amen. This is play something you got, brother. I know you have come early today, come before this service today, and I know we got a trip to drive. But I want to ask you that you'll take just a moment and just bow your head before the Lord. Lord, I ask you that you would feel welcome in this place. Lord, you know that I would never try to say anything amiss, Lord. I would never hurt one of your people, Lord. I love them, Lord. You have called them, Lord. They're your children. They're your flowers, Lord. I remember years ago when you first called me to ministry, Lord, and I finally started to surrender to that call. You told me right then, Lord, to be careful whenever you're doing this thing because I've got flowers in there. And I would never want to hurt one of your flowers, Lord. These are your flowers right before me today, Lord, under the sound of my voice, Lord. And Lord, I know that they are your children, Lord. And Lord, they are in the battle, Father. Lord, so many reasons to be afraid, so many reasons to doubt, Lord. Lord, I ask you that you reach over and fill that God mind today, Lord. Lord, if you just reach it over their way, Lord, if they're going the wrong direction, Lord, if you give them that nudge, Lord, that they can turn around, Lord, that they can consider their ways, Lord. Oh, God, I call on you. I ask you, Jesus, you feel welcome in this place, Lord. Knock on every heart here this morning, Lord. Just as sure as you reach down, Lord, and touch a prophet, Lord, and turn him around, showing him you cannot do this by yourself. You will get lost in yourself. It's the same with us, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need our guide today. Does anybody here today, Brother Daniel, I need some prayer today. Would you just lift your hand up before the Lord? The Lord sees your hand, brother and sister. We pray now, I want you to reach out by faith and you grab that guide wire today. Father, you see the hands that went up across this building, Lord. I ask you, Lord, that you would put that guide wire back in their hand, Lord, that they can follow you and your precepts, Lord. We need your leadership, Lord. I ask you, touch every father here in this building today, Lord, every mama, Lord. Oh, God, would you bring the sincerity of your spirit, Lord, into their hearts, Lord, into their homes, oh, God, that we can behold your precepts, Lord, that we can meditate upon them, Lord. You've given us a voice in this hour, Lord. Meet those needs, Lord. Get on their eyeball level, Lord. Touch every child here today, Lord. They've gotten away from them, Lord, of the precepts, Lord. May they be restored to that right here and right now, Lord.